is the BBC in Shanghai,
Bangalore,
Melbourne,
New York.
Wherever you are, you're with the BBC.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie. Welcome to the show. Today, we are speaking with Isha, author of Why Walk When You Can Fly. She is going to be in Vancouver at the Vancouver Public Library coming up very soon. So she is on the air right now. If you have a question for Isha about her book or about her processes, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And just before we bring Isha on the air, I want to remind you that next week, starting next week, November 13th to the 27th is CITR's funding drive. It's our annual fund drive, and we're raising money to keep the station in operation. So hopefully you will be able to participate. And I'm really looking forward to that. All the DJs are going to have their own special programming. So it's going to be a very special couple of weeks. So now with Isha. Hi, Isha.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for being on the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So you're going to be at the Vancouver Public Library. When is that?
It's on Monday, the 10th of November at 7:30 p.m.
Okay, so just coming up really soon. And is this for your book launch?
Absolutely, yes. I'm coming to Vancouver to promote the book.
Fantastic. So will you be doing, are you going to be reading from the book? Or are you going to be doing a speech, or how is that going to work?
Okay, so what I'll be doing is I'll be presenting the Isha system, and I'll also teach it. So it'll be very easy for people to have an experience of using the facets and using the system with me there, and then they can incorporate it into their lives along with the support of the book. The book has all of the system in it, but it would be lovely for the people to come and have a first-hand experience with me, I guess.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I've been reading the book, and it's really excellent, but I would love to hear it straight from you. So is this a free event, or is there a cost?
I think it's free.
Okay, yes. Great.
Well, if it's not, it's a very small charge. But no, I think this one is free, yes.
So that's,
or maybe it's $10. I really don't know. I apologize.
Okay. Well, it's coming up on Monday at 7:30 at the Vancouver Public Library, and I'm guessing that's the downtown main one.
350 West Georgia Street.
Yes, 350 West Georgia. So that's the main one downtown. And so I'm wondering now, how would you describe your book, Why Walk When You Can Fly?
You know, my book is, I've been teaching the Isha system for 10 years, and it's my experience of consciousness, it's my experience, I experience an incredible level of freedom, peace, and joy, which isn't affected externally. And the way I got to this experience that I have now is in the book. Like, I've lived in South America for the last 10 years, and I've taught literally over 100,000 people. I've taught thousands of people, and I'd never before released the system in a book. Like, I'd always taught it in big groups. But in this book, I share lots of anecdotes, lots of stories, lots of examples of the perception of consciousness, because in reality, it's 180 degrees opposite to what we've been taught in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. It's about coming back to innocence, coming back to a place of internal peace that we experienced when we were children. And I also explain the how-to, like the facets you use with the mind, and they take you instantly into what I call love consciousness. So it's a choice you can be making in each moment. And I also explain the steps that are consequences of this expansion of internal love and consciousness that make it grow even faster. So it's very simple, the book. It's very easy to follow, I think. My editor really helped me a lot with that, to make it like something that's easy to understand. And I share my experience, and I use a lot of comparisons from my travels and anecdotes from the people that I've taught, and I use a lot of explanations through nature and animals, and I think, you know, it's very clear. It teaches you how to be in the moment. You know we're meant to be, but we don't know how a lot of time, and ultimately how to love ourselves unconditionally.
Beautiful. I've been reading the book, and I'm about halfway through it, and so I'm reading about the facets, mm-hmm. and can you explain a little bit more about how the facets work?
So, in my experience, the facet, another thing I want to say, this has no belief system, because it's for everyone, but I share my experience, and in my experience, I experience the facets like they're my permanent experience, and they vibrate in a very high level of unity. And when you think them in the mind, because our bodies are cells and water, it starts to elevate our consciousness naturally, and it causes a coherence between the right and the left hemisphere. I suppose most people know the concept of the left hemisphere is intellectual and the right hemisphere is the union and the emotion and the senses. Well, it causes this perfect coherency between the two, so that when you think the facet, you go automatically into what I call love consciousness. It's not something that you have to focus on. It's not something difficult. It's not the same as meditation. It happens instantly with belief or without belief. You just think it. Now, we do the facets with our eyes closed for an hour a day, and that can be in different blocks. It's very simple to do. It takes no concentration. And we can do it in a noisy place, a quiet place. We can do it in bed, lying down, sitting, wherever. And that heals. It starts to heal the body very rapidly, and it starts to eliminate the... If you imagine our ideas that hold us in duality also have a support system, and that support system's within the body. It's like if you have a fear and you don't understand why something that's not rational is affecting you so much, because you can say, well, that's not a big deal, but why does it put me into shock, or why does it affect me? It's because the initial shocks and fears are also recorded in the body. And when we start to practice the facets, which I call unifying, we start to release that support from the body as well. And we start to come back to this place of unconditional love that's internal. We think that love's to a certain extent something external, but it's not. It's a very strong, concrete energy that's within all humans. And when we're children, we experience it all the time, but we lose it completely as adults. We only touch on it when we meditate or we have some sort of expanded experience. But we can actually live in that consciousness permanently.
Why do you think it is that we lose that as we get older?
You know, we create, this is my experience again, no one has to believe it. In my experience, we create an illusion of separation to have the human experience. You know, the thing, in my experience, we're all one, we've all always been one, and the only thing that's real is the love. But we have created a separation from that love. And something happens in our lives when we're young that causes this initial shock, which takes us away from that internal experience, and we start to look for love outside. We start to modify our behaviors. We start to put on social masks. We start to behave in a way that we consider to be appropriate so that we will receive love outside. Like, we lose our innocence. Mm-hmm. And as we start to heal, we come back to that place of innocence, and we start to experience a joy, a peace that's natural for us. It's something but it's something internal.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Isha, we are, you're listening to CITR, and we're talking with Isha right now. She's the author of Why Walk When You Can Fly, and she's going to be in Vancouver at the Vancouver Public Library on Monday evening at 7:30. That's at the main downtown branch. And if you want to get on the air and ask Isha a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And you can also email spiritualshow@gmail.com. Now, Isha, I notice on the front of the book, there's actually Masaru Emoto, the guy who was on the movie What the Bleep, and he does the experiments with water. He's actually written about your book.
Yes. So, yes, he tested the facets, and he said that they vibrate at an enlightened level of being, which is very nice.
So he actually tested them in his own scientific ways?
Well, I assume so, yes. He wrote that endorsement, so I assume for him to say that, yes, he tested them.
Nice.
Yes,
excellent.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah. Actually, it was amazing because I've never been a teacher here in the United States, or it was surprising for me, all the people that read the book, like important spiritual teachers here in the States and in Japan, obviously, and I got some really beautiful endorsements. I was very touched by that, the way everyone rallies together and helps support this, I suppose, this one focus that we all have on elevating the consciousness of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can we talk more about that? How has consciousness changed your life?
You know, I was a woman that was always thinking that my happiness was going to be in a future moment. You know, it's not that I wasn't happy, but I was always an overachiever. I always succeeded at everything I did. I was like, everything had to be excellent. It was always extreme. And I found that when I got to a point that I achieved what I wanted, that I thought would be, well, when I achieve that, that will be it, that there was always another point and another point. And I could see that I was trying to fill something internal with something external. And another thing, the thing that made me really choose for consciousness, but completely 100% for my the work of my life, was that I could see that I'd constructed my internal house on a base of fear. There was fundamental fear there that could always put me into compromise. It would always make me play small so that other people felt comfortable, or I would stay in relationships that didn't work because I was scared of being abandoned. And all of us, I've realized, have some fundamental fear, which is like our Achilles tendon, and it stops us from flying completely. Like, we cling to what we know. Even if we're not completely happy, we cling to what we know because we feel secure with what we have. And when we start to expand internal consciousness, or when I started to expand internal consciousness, it gave me such an internal security and peace that I had the power to start walking through all of my fears, letting go of my addictions, and the behaviors that constantly brought me to a place of suffering. You know, I always say that the human's biggest addiction is suffering. We have an aspect in our being that associates love with suffering, like that being a victim, not feeling like we're receiving enough, all of these things. We put all of our expectations externally, so it's very hard to control. And that's what we do. We control everything.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So I got to the point where I was sick of it. You know, I got sick of suffering. I got sick of never being good enough for myself. I got sick of not loving myself. I mean, I probably was back then quite, you know, extraordinary on some level, but I could never see it. I could see everyone else. But for me, I was never enough. I was, always pretty mediocre.
Oh, well, we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of Isha, the author of Why Walk When You Can Fly, on Synchronicity, CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Zipcar gets it. You live your life 4 months at a time. Commitment freaks you out. Your most expensive asset is your laptop, and even that's portable. Why own a car when you can have a Mini for cruising with friends, a roomy Yaris for moving your affordable Swedish furniture into your dorm room, and a Ford Escape for when you take a break from homework to hit the North Shore slopes?
UBC students get a sweet discount on Zipcar membership, $30 for the year. You can reserve by the hour or day, and gas, insurance, and 150 kilometers per day are always included. Your first step is to put down that slice of pizza and sign up at zipcar.com/UBC. After that, just head to one of the locations on campus to pick up your car, and the rest is up to you.
And welcome back to Synchronicity on CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking with Isha, author of Why Walk When You Can Fly. She is going to be in Vancouver at the Downtown Public Library on Monday, coming up this Monday, the 10th of November at 7:30 p.m. And we're talking about Isha's system and the book Why Walk When You Can Fly. And Isha, you were mentioning that the processes, the system helped you get rid of your fears. And I'm wondering, even now that you are in this love consciousness place, do fears still come up for you sometimes?
No, I don't experience fear at all anymore. And, you know, the wonderful thing about my experience is I wake up and I'm always in joy. Like, it's a permanent experience for me, and I perceive completely through new eyes. Like, I heal I always say it's like we look through a window of perception and we see things as we are. And I completely healed, like, the external judgments and ideas that stop me from being in peace and joy. And I see the world as a completely different place. Like, everywhere I go, I feel perfectly at home. And I see the magic instead of... I'll give you an example. Yeah, I'm from Australia, and I used to compare everything. Everywhere I'd travel, everything was always a comparison. I was like one of those really bad tourists, you know, but back in Australia we have this, and back in Australia... I couldn't see things. And I could see that I was so attached to my ideas that I couldn't even see people clearly. I could see my ideas and whether their behavior resonated with my ideas. And it opened a completely new world for me on every level, because I just see this incredible perfection now. And I see everyone having their own experience, everyone doing the best they can, and everyone growing so rapidly. And it's incredible. Like, I take this system to the most diverse areas, as you've probably, if you read my webpage, I take it to reinserts from people that have been reinserted from the guerrilla in Colombia. I teach in high security prisons. And it's so clear for me now that we're all one. Like, we're all the same. We have different opportunities and different situations. But ultimately, all people yearn for the same thing, and that's love. We all want to be loved.
That's so true. And I'm wondering, when you talk about not having any fear anymore, that to me is amazing. And I'm wondering, it's two questions.
Yes.
How long did it take for your fears to be cleared with this system? And also, how did you discover this system?
Well, the system comes from within me. I had a voice in my head. I got to a point, I had another breakdown in one of my tragic little relationships, and I got to a point where I said, you know, this is it. I'm not doing this anymore. I no longer want my happiness to depend on an external experience. And I had a voice in my head that was saying, it's time for you to wake up. Like, this suffering, this drama, this fear, it's an illusion, and it's something that you can heal. And I started focusing inwards. I started using all sorts of different things to start focusing inwards. And I started to heal. I started to feel what was going on. I, like, saw my life going before me. I could see how I'd created all of these fears and separations. And I started letting go of everything. I started teaching myself to be present in the moment and to speak my truth, to take off my social masks, to start loving myself as I was, instead of with all of my faults and defects, what I thought were faults and defects there, instead of trying to pretend that I was something I wasn't. And as I did this, I started to expand in consciousness, but very rapidly. It's an amazing thing. Because love vibrates on such a high frequency, it moves very, very fast. Whereas, fortunately, the fear doesn't. It just goes round in circles, because we do have a tendency to be focused on our fears of losses and what's going to happen in the future, or dragging the past into this moment. And when we focus on love, by using the facets, it starts to expand very, very quickly. And it's amazing, because the human body heals very fast. It vibrates on a different frequency fast. And the fears, the thoughts that create the fear, if they don't have the support in the body, they become like, the thoughts can continue, but you're in such a space of consciousness that you can see that they're just thoughts. They're just thoughts created by that duality of the intellect.
So when you're talking about very quickly, because there's a few issues I've got going on here. There's a lot of different books out there and different spiritual teachers who are all, I mean, they may present it in a different way, but essentially it's the same thing, that we're all one, that love is the most important thing. We need to raise our vibration, law of attraction, all of that kind of stuff. How long, when you're talking about quickly, how quickly?
It took me 11 months.
11 months.
11 months. And
of doing it every day for an hour?
Students, I have to, beg your pardon?
Of doing it every day for 1 hour?
No, I probably did it more than that, but I did it with my eyes open all the time too, so I was still functioning in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But most of my students, like if you, that commit to doing this, they get into a state of perpetual consciousness, which is permanent peace and internal joy. Most of them stabilize it in 2 years, but it's the journey of it too. I've never seen, you know, and I don't want to be comparing, but I've never seen anything as fast as this because it's something you can choose in each moment. And in each moment, you're changing. And the journey towards that change is incredible as well because, you know, the most uncharted territory we have is ourselves. We think we know how we are. But when we start to see ourselves, but very clearly from our hearts instead of from the ideas that we have, we get so surprised. You know, if you'd asked me before I healed what I was like, I would have told you I'm a very positive person, a very spiritual person. I meditated every day. I did lots of different things. And it was not true. You know, I was never in the moment. Sure, I meditated. I had lots of ideas about love. But to be the love, to experience it permanently, that's what I'm talking about, being that love, not talking about it or having an idea of how it looks, but to actually experience it permanently and internally.
Can you describe what it feels like to be that love?
Well, it's incredible because everything's love. And when you are that love, you perceive it in everything. But the energy is so... how can I explain it? It's something so concrete, it's almost thick. Like, it's joyful, it's light, it's innocent, it's spontaneous. And all those habitual fears about the future and am I good enough and, you know, what are people thinking about me? And they fall. And it's such a freedom. And you have the capacity when you're experiencing this love because you trust in what you're creating completely. You have the capacity to flow and to know that you're creating everything perfectly. Whereas when you're not in that love, when you're living in the duality of your mind, you're always doubting yourself and you worry if you said the right thing to people and if they're still going to love you and all those habitual fears. And I think that's one of our biggest fears is that people approve of us.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to fall away. And the control, you know, we're controlling our attachments and we're scared something's going to happen and we're going to lose this and we're going to lose that. And even that, like in these times when people, for example, here, they're very concerned about the economic situation, you know, the external changes all the time, and it's time for people to realize that we can vote for a new president, he can fix the economy, he can fix the country, he can do a lot of incredible work. But ultimately, my happiness depends on me because it's something I have with me all the time. And the outside will change. I mean, it changes. People die, there's accidents, all sorts of things happen in life. It's how you're being within those external changes that denotes whether or not you have freedom.
Beautiful.
That's what I tell the prisoners too, and they get it. It's incredible. They start to have these experiences of love in these high security prisons, and these are big men, and you know they start crying, and they see how much they don't like themselves. You know, I have them. It's quite touching, really, because sometimes they come up to me and they say, "Will this get rid of the evil that's in me?" And I said to them, you know, you're not evil. I said, you've made some probably inappropriate choices in your life, but it's what you're being in this moment that's important, and you have to let all that stuff go.
I'd actually like to talk more about the prisoners. First of all, you're listening to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and right now we're talking with Isha, the author of Why Walk When You Can Fly. If you have a question for Isha, you can call 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, and I'll put you right on the air. You can ask your question. She's going to be in Vancouver at the Downtown Public Library on Monday the 10th at 7:30 p.m. So, Isha, when you're working with prisoners, and people with addictions and things like that, and perhaps mental illnesses, other issues going on than maybe the average person who would pick up and read your book. How is it different working with them? And I'm wondering, I can imagine that the change would be, if they were able to obtain it, it would be so much more radical than the average person. But can you explain how people that are in that kind of situation where they're chronically making poor decisions, or they're chronically depressed or have addictions, how can they use the system to change their life?
You know, I go in and teach this system. Everyone's identical. All humans have addictions. We all have aspects of depression. We all have everyone. It's just the extremities. And I go into these prisons and I teach them. And it's great in the prison, for example, because they can practice for more than an hour a day. Like, they've got a lot of time to actually be practicing. And what I do is I have trained over 40 teachers in South America, and those teachers go and visit them every week and they support them. So that when they're moving emotions, when, you know, all these things, because some of them have horror stories, you know, I suppose to get, and I'm not condoning their behavior, but to get into a high security prison, you come from a relatively violent background. They come from a lot of very heavy situations, and they start to see some of these things. So we support them with all of that as well. But the authorities are so happy. They've opened almost, through my foundations, they've opened all the prisons. It's like, yes, please come, because the violence level goes down dramatically. And they can see the changes, and all the prison officials learn as well. So that's great. They work as a unit towards bringing an evolution of consciousness within the prison. The reinserts, the people that have been reinserted from the guerrilla in Colombia, they have even more violent situations. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of these people were there since they were children, and maybe the first experiences they ever had was being handed a machine gun or a hand grenade. I mean, who knows the extremities of what they went through. And again, when people decide to change, the changes are fast. If you make a conscious decision that what I've been doing all my life just doesn't work, because it always brings me back to the same point, to make a radical change, and I say that in the book, like, even though it's only a switch towards love, that is a radical change. And if we commit to healing and we put our focus on that, it's such a fast process, because the whole universe vibrates in that energy. It's like it supports everyone in coming back to our true nature, because love is our true nature. All this separation and fear and protection and judgment, etc., is the human experience. But what if that's not who we really are? What if we're much more than that?
That's a really good question. So we're going to take another break, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. And right now we're speaking with Isha, the author of Why Walk When You Can Fly. And we're talking about the Isha system, and it's a group of processes that you do, and we'll talk more about it coming up. If you have a question for Isha, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
Download this. Every Wednesday through Saturday until November 8th, the Vancouver Theatre Sports League present IPROV. The internet goes offline and on stage for 90 minutes of hilarity when improv comedians from Vancouver Theatre Sports League take on Facebook, wikis, blogs, and iTunes. IPROV is on at the New Review stage on Granville Island every Wednesday through Saturday until November 8th. Doors are 7:30 on Wednesdays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Looking for great student rates? Don't miss 2-for-1 Wednesdays, or get a group of 10 or more together and save as much as 35% over Ticketmaster rates. For more information, visit www.vtsl.com.
We are the robots. Welcome back to the show. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, and we're talking with Isha, author of Why Walk When You Can Fly and founder of the Isha System. She teaches this system about love consciousness and getting connected with what we truly are inside and inside our souls. All over the world and in prisons to people, victims of war or people who've been involved in war and things like that. So we're going to talk more with her right now. If you have a question for Isha, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Hi, Isha.
Hi.
Hi. So we've been talking about people who've been in grown up as soldiers, basically, or people that are in maximum security prisons who've had been involved in violence and things like that. And with those things, I can imagine there'd be a lot of guilt associated with that. So do you want to talk a little bit about guilt and how the Isha system helps with that?
You know, I always say that guilt's the handmaiden of suffering. Our addiction to suffering also loves guilt because that can constantly be bringing in that feeling of how bad I am, oh, I've done something wrong, and it's constantly there. And I teach my students and the people in the prisons, obviously, that the only thing that's real now is this moment, and I can recreate myself in this moment. I mean, that's the beauty of the human condition. We have a choice. I can choose for the love or I can choose for the fear. And this constantly torturing ourselves over a past experience doesn't change who we are in this moment. So we need to come into this moment, focus on the love in this moment, be the love in this moment, and start like benefiting ourselves and the whole universe in this moment by what we're choosing for. And we can see that often how the mind wanders back to these places of guilt and we drag that into the future. And we do this in relationships too. That's another thing I'd like to talk about, if I may.
Yes, please.
That we have what I call the list. And it's like we have these relationships. And whenever one person does something that we perceive as wrong, we like to pull out the list. And this is all of the things that they did wrong in the past. And so, you know, if someone does something, we go, yeah, but you remember that when you da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so we've still, within relationships, we focus on this fear. We focus on resentment and things that happen instead of focusing on the praise and the love in this moment. And when we start, when we let go of all the past history, but we let it go completely, we can start to have a new experience now. But if we're constantly dragging the fear and the resentment and everything into this moment, nothing's changed. So the part of my system that's very important is I tell people to feel everything, express it, but let it go so that they're empty of all that past negativity and fears, and so they can start to see through the eyes of love in this moment instead of through the past regrets. And that's another part that's very important for being in the present moment and to experiencing the love consciousness, that you allow yourself to be human and you express everything that has affected you, that you don't feel happy with, that you don't like, but then let it go and stop dragging it into this new moment.
Beautiful. And so when I'm reading your book and the facets, do you want to talk a little bit about specifically, like the first one, I believe, is about the present moment and how it's perfect.
Yes.
And in your book, it's quite lengthy, the saying. And in your book, you advise not to change those words.
Yes.
So can you explain why that is? Because for me, I find it hard to remember that whole statement. I mean, it's not super long, but in your book, you also talk about not repeating it over and over and over and over again like a mantra. You're saying it and experiencing it and pausing.
Well, once you start using it with your eyes closed, it becomes very simple. Like you think it, you leave a little space of a couple of seconds, and then you think it again. And The facet is an experience of unified consciousness, but it's not a normal experience. Like when we first start using it, the intellect has a little bit of a rejection because we're talking about perfection, the love, the perfection of this moment. And the human mind, the what I call the matrix of the intellect, that which we live in, says that everything's not perfect, there's all these things terribly wrong, and it has a big list. So when you first start to use it, there's a slight aspect of, for some people, like a rejection to the facet. But then the facet goes in and does its work, and it starts to remove all of these judgments and all these belief systems that make us perceive that there's something fundamentally wrong in this moment. And we start to expand this internal love consciousness. And the reason that the facet vibrates on such a high frequency is that it's a truth of enlightenment. And, of course, in the beginning, when we're experiencing internal duality, we reject that. And that's why I say it's not the same as meditation, because it doesn't necessarily take us automatically into a place of peace, but it's cultivating a permanent experience of peace by removing that which is vibrating out of alignment with that consciousness. Does that make sense?
I think so.
That's why I say it's very important to just do it mechanically and not have an expectation of how you're meant to feel. And you can have it written and just keep glancing at it, but you think it, you only leave a couple of seconds. Like when I say not like a mantra, I mean don't just be putting it on top of the other one straight away. It's just to go into that space and then repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. But the resistance is stress.
And so would you, as you're going about your day and you're doing it with your eyes open, are you repeating it over and over with that space as well, or how does that work during the day?
No, during the day it's less. I teach people to do the four facets for equal amounts of time every day with their eyes closed. And that's because that's when the dramatic healing and removing the limitations from the mind and all the stuff that supports that in the body, and to drink a lot of water and get exercise to flush out all the toxins, because it really, as the body vibrates higher, we start to eliminate all the rubbish very rapidly. But during the day, it's something that you just incorporate every now and then. Like you might be in a stressful situation, or you might find that you're in a drama in your head, and the minute you see that, you start incorporating the facet to bring yourself back into the present moment. You can think it as much as you want, because you know, you're just walking around thinking anyway, and every time I choose for that facet, I'm expanding internal consciousness, which is great. Because, you know, often our thoughts aren't brilliant. We just think silly things, so, you know. Not always, I know, but we think about, and we get like overly hooked into things that are so unimportant. They just, they become like mantras in our head. It could be something as simple as going to buy bananas. It goes round and round and round. Our minds are like that. They grab onto something that's not important.
Mm-hmm. And pick it apart and focus on it and focus on it. So can you touch on the facets so that people who are listening know what we're talking about?
You want me to say one?
Yes, please.
Okay. So it's praise love for this moment in its perfection. And when you think that, you put your attention in your heart, profoundly in the heart, I say, and then you leave a space, and then you repeat that again, praise love for this moment in its perfection. You wait a second or 2 seconds, and then you gently repeat that again. And this is with your eyes closed. You can be lying down, sitting up, and you'll find that there's lots of thoughts. When the body's healing, sometimes there can be a bombardment of thoughts initially, and then it will go into a place of peace. But that's because all the superficial, the surface level stress is starting to leave very fast because of the vibration that the facet's provoking. And it's very good for people to realize that they don't have to go into a state of no mind, they don't have to sit in a certain posture, they don't have to breathe in a certain way. They just think it. Leave a space, don't have an attachment to what happens, because it does, nothing needs to happen. You might feel sad, you might feel happy, you might have a lot of thoughts, you might have pain in an old injury in your body because the stress is leaving that. You might have a memory or something totally incoherent going through your mind. And it doesn't matter. That's why I say in the book to commit to doing it for 4 weeks, because the initial aspect might be moving a lot of things, and you might think, oh, and your judgments will come in. This, the world's a disaster, there's hunger, there's all these things happening, and da-da-da-da, there's an economic crash. Praise love for this moment in perfection. And as I start to focus on that love, more and more and more, it starts to expand, and I also start creating from that space. You know, we're so into this creating what we want in our lives, like the bigger car, the better partner, the successful career, etc., etc. And all those things are great, but they're not going to make us love ourselves. And this is what I'm trying to explain to people, that I can never feel complete with something that's outside of me. All those things are great, and yes, you can have them in an abundance. It's not that I'm into poverty or scarcity. It's quite the opposite. But to love yourself unconditionally, to experience this permanent internal love, this permanent internal security, and be able to give that instead of having to constantly control and take the love from the outside, gives you freedom. I don't know anything else that gives you freedom except for consciousness, that experience of permanent consciousness.
So it's interesting because people do strive for better careers and bigger cars and bigger houses and all of that. And that is, you know, that those are fun things, but if you don't have love within yourself and you can't get that love from internal sources, then it doesn't matter how much money you accumulate or how many toys you accumulate or how many boyfriends or girlfriends or mistresses you have on the side. It's never going to be enough, right?
You just need to create more if you've got lots of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I realized that because I was always fairly good at creating what I wanted. And I also realized that, you know, you have to be open to receive as well. If you imagine for a moment, and this is another thing you don't have to believe, but what if your partner is always mirroring to you? So it doesn't matter what sort of a partner you're creating. Sometimes you might create a partner that's so loving, so great, but do you want that partner? Like, really? Do you think you deserve that partner? Or do you want the one you can't have? The one that can't commit to you, the one that can't give you the love. And we all swear that we want the perfect partner and we want this and we want that. But because of the places where we don't love ourselves, we make choices from that place and we create outside our lack of commitment to ourselves, our non-deserving, and we don't create exactly what we want. But when we heal ourselves, everything external starts to mirror that. And you can have a partner that's focused on healing as well, and you both grow together as unique individuals and support each other in that. But when you're trying to constantly take from each other and change each other, you know, invariably the relationship falls apart. The love of your life is you. You're with yourself for the rest of your life. So I think that's the permanent partner you have. So I think the most important thing in my experience is to learn to love yourself, but really love yourself and value yourself.
That is really the most important thing. But I think it can be difficult for people because, I mean, even you learn in kindergarten, I remember hearing, you know, no one's going to love you if you can't love yourself. I heard that lots of times, but it's difficult to understand what that really means if you've never really experienced love for yourself. Or
you know, until you expand consciousness, no one's got any idea what it means.
Mm-hmm.
I know now, but I didn't know. People used to say that to me. They said, "Oh, you need to love yourself more." I thought, "Well, what does that mean? I buy a better car, or I go and have a massage, or..." No one knows what that means. They're like little comments people make. But until you expand love consciousness, internal consciousness, and you find that your home within yourself, and you start to nurture that energy and make that so important that you don't want to have your addictions and you don't want to create suffering, and you can see how hooked hooked you are into making dramas in your life so you can feel like a victim. And I'm not saying, you know, we all do it on some level. Some people are very extreme and some people aren't. But all humans do that because that's what we've been taught to do. And when we start to find the love within ourselves and really know what that means, you know, that's what the book's for. It's a recipe for loving yourself. And it shows you how to expand that. It's an internal experience. It's not, and then it leads to behaviors. But initially, it's an internal experience, and the consequence of that internal experience is what we perceive as love, like speaking the truth, being transparent, you know, making choices that are enhancing our quality of life instead of bringing us more of the same things.
Nice. Well, it's time for another break. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about what happened over those 11 months as you were going through this shift into love consciousness. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. Coming up in about 15 minutes is Scotty's Scenic Drive, so stick around for that, and we'll be right back with this message.
There once was a girl who always went a little too far. And one night, she went out to the middle of the dance floor. And she...
What up, CITR? This is DJ Betty Ford here to tell you that your favorite Tuesday night DJs have moved to Republic. Join myself and Trevor Risk in the main room as we conduct a balls-out assault on the dance floor. Or get it on the patio to a rotating crew of selectors, including CITR DJs and other famous people. We'll be mashing the latest tracks with all your favorite classics. And we'll have those trademark drink specials and cheap cover that you've been loving all these years. Plus, you can bring in your friend of CITR card or CITR membership card for free cover for you and a guest before midnight. Only at Full Tilt Tuesdays at Republic, 958 Granville Street at Nelson. Full Tilt Tuesdays, manic weeknight hysteria from the original Tuesday Night Wrecking Crew.
CITR 101.9 FM, this is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. We are talking with Isha, author of Why Walk When You Can Fly, and we're going to wrap up the show in about 15 minutes, actually about 10 minutes. So if you have a question for Isha, give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And Isha's going to be at the Vancouver Public Library on Monday night at 7:30. That's November the 10th. And so that's hopefully free. It may have a small cost. We're not sure. But 7:30 at the main library downtown on Monday night. So, Isha, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
I just
want to clarify that it is free, the conference.
It is, for sure?
Yes.
Okay, great. And are you going to be doing any book signing? I may have already asked you that.
Yes, I'll sign everything.
Yes, okay, great.
Except for checks.
Okay. You mentioned earlier when I asked about how quickly this change came about in your life, you said about 11 months. And I'd like to hear a little bit more about the process. Like, what kind of changes occurred? What did you notice, like, in the first month and then the second month? And because it is a process and a journey. So what are some of the changes that started to occur along the way?
Well, the very first thing I started to experience was this internal energy. And I could see that it wasn't even something subtle. It was something very definite. When I started focusing inwards, I started expanding this internal energy. And very quickly, I'll give you an example. I used to do meditation like I did TM for many years. And every day, I would walk my dog along the beach in Melbourne in the city. And I'd always walk the dog habitually with my telephone, my coffee, and my cigarette. So the telephone's under my ear. And I'd race along that beach. And when I started focusing inwards, and within a week, I was walking along the beach. And this is when it became inherently, you know, obvious for me that I was never in the present moment, as evolved as I thought I was. I was walking along the beach with the dog. I'd left all the accessories behind, which was quite amazing. Not consciously, I just didn't have them with me. And all of a sudden, I started to hear this repetitive noise. And my consciousness picked it up. I thought, what's that noise, that repetitive noise? And it was the waves hitting the rocks. And I cried in that moment because I thought, you know, you're always walking with your telephone, your cigarettes, you're always planning something and being successful, and you have never been here. And it's made me cry, and I'm sure I wasn't like that all the time, but it was something that I did so habitually every day. I never was there. I was always in a future moment. And in that moment, I started just pulling myself into the moment all the time. And I could see, I was initially in my life, I used to train racehorses, and then I became a professional singer. And I could see that I was a very dramatic artist. Like, I'd be always creating all these songs and stories and everything in my head. And they were focused on drama. And I could see that that's where my energy was all the time, like broken hearts and romance and drama and all of these things. And I started to change. I started to see that all of my attention was in these areas, even though I was focused on achieving and making more money and doing my business negotiations. My head was always pointed towards romantic disillusionment. And I just changed completely. I started to feel, I was adopted, so I started to feel my abandonment, like from the root. And I cried quite a bit when I was healing, and I allowed myself to cry. I allowed myself to be real. You know, I had so many masks. I was always looking so confident and so powerful, and it was not true. I mean, there was a little kid inside of me, even after all the work I'd done for so many years, that was still very insecure. So I felt everything. I focused on being in the present moment all the time, and this energy, this internal energy, just kept expanding and expanding, and it was so fast, it was unbelievable. I was amazed myself. And until you experience love consciousness, but really experience it on a permanent basis, you don't know what it is. You know, we often say, oh, yeah, well, this looks like this, and we've done this before, and until we've got it, we haven't finished. Does that make sense? Until you have the experience that you want, you haven't finished searching. That's it. That's what I'm trying to say.
That makes sense, because I've done some meditation and a lot of work on myself, and I'm constantly searching for this spiritual experience, and I have had glimpses of it, and it's amazing when it happens.
Yes.
But to be able to keep that going for more than a minute or two at a time, maybe 10 minutes if I'm lucky, it's a challenge.
Yes, I understand. You need something that you can choose for in each moment. What you're talking about, I experience permanently, and it just keeps growing. It doesn't disappear. And I think that we need something very practical and something that we can incorporate in each moment of our lives, you know, and everything's valid. Like, I did many, 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 many things to get to this point of what I'm presenting to the world now. And this is what healed me, you know, and that's all I can say. This was my experience, and I want to give it to everyone.
So do you think if someone was doing something like, You Can Heal Your Life, have you seen that movie or read the book?
No.
Louise Hay? It's basically affirmations. So for any, like if you have a health problem, there you can look in the back of the book and it'll tell you that.
Oh, yes, I have read that book. I read it many, many years ago, I think.
And is that kind of similar to the facets, or is it different?
No, it's totally different, because these are truths of enlightenment. They are an experience, but a permanent experience. It's not when you're focusing on healing a certain thing in your life, you're focusing on what's wrong and what needs to be healed. In this, the facets focus on the perfection and the expansion of internal perfection. I'm not criticizing Louise Hay's work, by the way. I think it's exceptional. Focus on the permanent experience of love and having that all the time. It doesn't focus anything on what we perceive as wrong, quite the opposite. It's praising the perfection of this moment. It praises the perfection of our human experience. It says that we're created in perfection as love beings, and the last facet brings us into a space of unity. So it's different in the sense that we're elevating the vibration, and everything that doesn't serve falls by itself. So instead of focusing on what I think's wrong, I focus on perfection, and I become the perfection. And when I become the perfection, everything that's based in fear leaves me. So the focus, even though it's subtle, you know, this is another thing. It looks similar, but it, until you try it and until you practice it and incorporate it, there's a need to be innocent. Like, everything looks similar, ultimately. But if you do it, you'll see that it's not similar. It's very different, because it will expand this internal love consciousness very rapidly.
Beautiful. Well, Isha, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and we are wrapping up in just a minute or two. So is there anything you'd like to add before we end the show?
I'd like to mention my webpage, if I may.
Yes,
it's isha.com. Isha's isha.com, www, obviously. I'd love people to come and see my talk, because I will be teaching the facets and I'll be answering lots of questions, and I also answer questions on a more from consciousness as well, if people have different sorts of questions. And it would be delightful to meet everyone there. I have another thing, I think, Hollyhock, is that in Vancouver? I'm a bit ignorant, I'm sorry.
Hollyhock, I think it's on one of the islands.
Okay, so I have a big intensive there at Hollyhock in September as well next year, but I'd love to see everyone before then.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Isha. Thank you for your time, and thank you for writing your book, Why Walk When You Can Fly, and sharing your facets with everyone.
Thank you, Marie, and thank you for allowing me to be on your program. I'm very grateful.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you again for being on the show. So if you would like to see Isha live on Monday night in Vancouver at the Vancouver Public Library downtown, that's where she'll be. So if you have questions for her, you want to pick up the book, you'd like to get it autographed, anything like that, definitely check that out, and you can visit her website if you want more information at Isha, isha.com. That's isha.com. And also, I will have that posted on the podcasts page. So you've been listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie. Coming up in just a moment, Scotty's Scenic Drive. If you have a show idea or want to be a guest, contact me at spiritualshow@gmail.com, or you can add me as a friend on Facebook. Remember, coming up next week is the funding drive. I've got some gifts from Sage Natural Wellness. They've donated a lot of gifts, so if you are going to participate, that's definitely a good time to do that. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm here every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. in Vancouver. The show also starts at noon on the East Coast on cosmicdimensions.com, and you can check out past shows on podcast at citr.ca. Thanks for listening. Up next, Scotty's Scenic Drive on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Turn on your radio, 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 turn on.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry!
Rude boy, don't cry!
Scotty's Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
One, two!
grab his money too. I said businessmen go broke, and the lunch I'm come to show. Well, it's all about the money, man. The story's all the same. 2,000 years, and not enough yet to teach you what is worth.